Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers. Locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Back to throw is Young, has time, pocket collapsing, now turns to Barnes, intercepted, Darius has got it at the 30, he's on the run at the 25, Darius outside 20, at the 15, at the 10, inside, Darius doubles, gets on his feet at the 5, and forces his way to the 1. Oh my goodness, Donovan Darius, fighting all the way to the 1-yard line. Pressure is coming. Marino, he is going to be hit. The ball is on the field. The Jaguars have recovered the fumble by Dan Marino.
Tony Brackens finally at the end of the game does his thing, strips Marino, and knocks the ball loose. Welcome back, Tony.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Tom McManus, ladies and gentlemen. Usually on Fridays, Tommy.
Yeah, I know.
That's why the production value slipped through the cracks on this Thursday. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good to see you again, dude.
Yeah, one of these days we'll get back to TIAA Bank Field, but we're waiting until we get the whole band back together.
Yeah.
Until Fat Tony rejoins the tribe. He is right now franchised out to the afternoon. Hosting the Frangie Show.
Okay.
All week. With Lauren Rue and Philip Heilman.
He can't do double duty? What's his problem?
That's what I'm thinking,
jeez.
Right? I mean, look, I don't want to highlight the fact that we only work 2 hours a day, but we only work 2 hours a day, for goodness sakes. A five-hour workday shouldn't be all that difficult for him. But, you know, I brought now attention to myself. And forget I said anything. They do that little thing that they used to do on Saturday Night Live, like Mike Myers, you know, the
right.
Do the wavy hands next to your face. Just forget it was all a dream.
That's right.
What have you been up to, man?
Man, just working, having some fun, enjoying life.
Summer's here.
Summertime.
It is. Oh, tomorrow's like the official first day of summer.
Oh,
it is.
21st. That's right.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
that's right. Yeah.
You know, it's downtime for NFL players.
Yep.
For the most part, across the board.
Yeah.
Minicamp certainly shut it down here for the Jags till the 25th of July.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been thinking too, like, you know, you got to wonder, like, so the players get like 5-6 weeks off, right?
Yes.
From now until training camp. You got to wonder if you could start the offseason program later and then only give them like 2 to 3 weeks off.
Have a shorter
window.
So they're
not gone so long. Because you can get out of shape in 5 weeks if you're not careful.
Yeah.
You can.
Do
they get in trouble?
What do you think it is? Do you think that the players are bargaining for the longer break so they have a longer block of time? Or is it that teams don't like, because if you did that, potentially at the beginning of the offseason, you'd have a long period of time where these guys would be
out. You're not reporting in March. You're reporting in late April or early May, something like that.
So do you think it's that the teams don't want to go that long?
If I'm a coach, I don't want my guys away for 5 weeks after we just spent a few months really grinding, really pushing, really working, and not just getting the play, you know, book together, but and the game or the playbook and getting to know what you're supposed to be doing mentally, but physically. And look, I worked out as hard as just about anybody. I can't say I worked out harder than everybody, but I don't think many people worked out more than I did. I mean, I did a lot of different things, but you can only work out so hard on your own. You know what I mean? When you're with the team, when you're doing certain drills, when you're doing football drills, you're reacting on instinct and not by someone pointing here or pointing there. It's a different kind of workout. So I think that's what happens when guys go away for, or can happen. You're away for 5 weeks. You're not doing that kind of training. Then you jump right back into it, and the body's like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And that's when you get some injuries, some soft tissue stuff, that kind of thing. I don't know. If I'm a coach, I'd like to shorten that, maybe get them started later in the offseason, and then this break instead of five, make it like 2 or 3, you know, get them back quicker, and so they're not
right,
gone so long.
Right, it's not like they can just now for 5 or 6 weeks go crazy, right?
No,
I mean, the expectation, it used to be that way, that you came to training camp to get in shape.
In shape, correct.
Well, was that not really the case when you played, I don't think?
No,
right?
No, we had an off season. We had a big time off season without question. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, the working out and then just like today. But it's actually, I think we did more because there was no such a stringent on time in the collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
Like today, you know.
Did you have, like, I'm trying to think back to that period. Were there voluntary things like that? Like, were there?
It was voluntary, but it was voluntary, mandatory. You should be there. Yeah, for the most part.
Which is, I think it's how it is now, with the exception you can only get away. I say get away with it. I mean, it's their right to not participate.
It is.
But I think you can only have it not impact you if you're of a certain stature.
Correct.
Right? I mean,
correct.
If you're the.
But I don't remember our star guys not participating. They were always there,
sure.
From what I remember.
But certainly the non-star guys would be there.
You should be there.
Because, I mean, you're fighting.
You're fighting for your
every
life.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey knows his place is secure on this roster.
Absolutely. You know, either here or somewhere else. He's sitting there going, look, if you're going
to
get rid of me, fine, get rid of me. I'll go somewhere else.
In fact, he'd probably
be the
love
guy.
It to hit free agency right
now. I'm sure he would with
I'm
all
sure
the money
there
thrown
would be
around.
Some team out there with enough cap space left.
That would pay him an ungodly amount, maybe?
Well, you know what? It's going to be an ungodly amount, Tom. What do you make of that?
I don't know. Whatever.
It's a different time.
It is.
You know what I mean?
I can't. You know, it's funny. Us old timers can be like, but in the reality, come on, man, it's just the way it is today. People get online, they get on Instagram, they talk about. I mean, look at Facebook, Mike. What is Facebook? You either you brag, you boast, you complain,
right?
You know, or you just
or some all,
yeah. You know what I mean? So it's. I think it's just the nature of how guys communicate today. I don't know if I would do it. I'd be more. You know, reserved, I think, and I wasn't very reserved back when I was playing.
If you had social media and it had been around for as long as it has been now, in your day, there would have been guys that would have taken to it, I'm sure. You know, I mean, if they
of course.
You would have grown up
no doubt.
In it, like
no
these
doubt.
Guys have.
Absolutely.
It's second nature.
Absolutely.
Man.
So for them to do that, I saw the video. It was kind of funny. You know, like they're goofing around, you know.
Right.
Some people might have taken it the wrong way, but that's just the way it is. Today. I don't really have a problem with it. You know, at the end of the day, just go out and win. You know, it's like I was saying with Tony, you know, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I don't care about the offseason. I don't care about training camp. I don't really care about the preseason. Show me in the regular season what kind of team you are, and then we'll start, at least from my perspective, we'll start analyzing how you're really doing.
You know, it's funny you say that because we did a poll the other day, and this was based on an ESPN article Mike DeRocco participated in, and each of the correspondents had to place – the offseason in a category for the team that they covered.
Yeah.
And you could either say they had an elite offseason, which the Browns writers is the only one who put them in there. And you can argue that if you want.
Right.
D-Rock said they had an above-average one in Jacksonville because they upgraded at quarterback, being the most important position.
Yep.
You could choose average or you could choose too soon to tell, which is really the category that they should all be in.
For the most part,
Right?
And are you – I mean, obviously you're factoring in the new – you know, the guys that you got rid of, the guys that you brought in, that's your off season, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. You know, how do we look on paper?
And that's
how
all,
do we look on
that's
paper?
All
that's
is.
All you can do right
well, that's
now.
As we sit here, NFL writers, broadcasters, what have you,
right.
We've got 5 or 6 weeks to figure out what to talk about
Absolutely.
Until there's actual stuff back on the field again.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I kind of like, look, I browse like everybody else. You know, it's interesting when you see different things. I saw some, was it yesterday or this morning? Trades they'd like to see. I don't know who the two guys were, but they put these out. And one of them was Alshon Jeffrey for Jalen Ramsey. Like, straight up. I'm like, you out of your mind?
Right.
Are you crazy?
Right.
That would never, ever happen.
Happen.
Now, one thing that was interesting, Fournette to the Chiefs for draft picks. I thought that was pretty interesting. That I could see potentially happen.
Boy, I don't think this team would trade him without getting a significant return. Because if you want to contend this year – I think you're going to have to get a big year out of Leonard Fournette. I really do.
Or the running back position in general.
True, and I just think talent-wise, look, I got respect for all these guys, right?
Sure.
They're professional athletes, but I do think that despite the fact that he's never averaged 4 yards per carry, I think Leonard Fournette is the most talented guy that they have
that
available
they have at the
to
position.
Them, right? I think Alfred Blue is a nice, solid veteran that you can count on to know the offense, hang on to the football, you know, but he doesn't put the fear of God in defensive coordinators. Thomas Rawls doesn't. Those kind of things.
Right. Now, I don't know if Fournette does either.
No, I think potentially,
but maybe
though,
he could.
You've
maybe
seen
could.
It with the 90-yard run, the 75-yard run. He's got the breakaway ability.
He does.
He's got to show it on a consistent basis. We definitely know that. He is featured in our question, or one of our two questions of the day today. And we asked, this is taking a spin off of an NFL.com piece where they wrote about a future first-time Pro Bowler for every team in the AFC. They do the NFC tomorrow. So each for each team, okay, they pick the guy most likely to break through and make his first Pro Bowl that if he's never been to one.
Okay.
So we asked you which Jaguar is most likely to earn his first trip to the Pro Bowl in the upcoming season. Leonard Fournette, Miles Jack, Dede Westbrook, or someone else. And if it's someone else, just tell us who you're voting for there. The question of the day, presented by Gravely Zero Turn Mowers, an American workhorse since 1916. Now we have a bonus question that I think might be up your alley as Okay, we had the Carrie Underwood story. I don't know if you saw that. The Sunday Night Football song,
yeah,
she's been accused of plagiarism.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
It's very similar. Played it this morning on the drill, the original. It's called. They're both called Game On.
Okay.
They have a very similar tempo. It was brought to Carrie Underwood's representatives, and they said, we're going to have to pass on this. So there's a trail that shows that they were exposed to the song.
Uh-oh.
So you got that. Plus, you know, we're going to be giving away Guns N' Roses tickets tomorrow on the program. So we ask today as a bonus question, what is your favorite sports-related or sports-themed song? I mean, it could be something like Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which is obviously sports-themed, or it could be your favorite stadium song. You know, it could be We Will Rock You because they play it in a lot of arenas or whatever the case may be. So we'll accept submissions on that today.
Okay. I'd throw mine in now if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I loved when we came out to Welcome to the Jungle.
You
back
did.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
I love that. That to me was like,
you've heard of Guns N' Roses.
Have you heard of Guns N' Roses?
Jack O'Brien, who's been one of the great radio salespeople in Jacksonville
history,
was bringing around one of the representatives. Her name was April, who was doing a lot of promoting for Guns N' Roses. And he comes in and asks myself and Emmanuel if we've ever heard of the band.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, are you kidding
me? One of the greatest.
Appetite for Destruction was like one of the cleanest that you could put in your CD player at the time and just let it go and never have to skip. Right?
No,
you really never had to skip anything.
Can you name all 12?
I cannot name
without
all 12.
Looking? I think I could.
I bet you could.
I think I could. Maybe.
I wouldn't doubt
it. But there's some really good ones.
Chinese Democracy.
Yeah, right.
It'll be coming out any day now.
I'm happy they're back together, man. They were rocking. You know what's funny? I saw a documentary. We were talking about this before. A documentary on them last night. Breaking of the Band. I think I forget what channel it's on. And one of their first shows I was at, 1988 in Chicago. They opened for Aerosmith. And I remember going to that show. Didn't know anything about Guns N' Roses whatsoever. And on a side note, which was pretty interesting, so my older brother Mike, who's just a year older, I just graduated high school, getting ready to go to Boston College. My one of my good friends, Tommy Finnegan, and my brother went to the show. Well, he had an ID, and we tried to get beers, and there was a sign. He's like, yeah, come on, stand with me, and we'll just get them. So we're like, all right, no problem. My brother's the ultimate salesman. And the sign right there, clear as day, said only one beer per person. So he looks at us. He goes, all right, go find some seats, and I'll try to figure some out. That son of a gun came back with three beers like four different times throughout the show. It was phenomenal.
I don't know if Emmanuel would, you know, put it this way. If I were going to wonder if anybody could get that done, Emmanuel and Joe Cowart would definitely be on
there
the list.
There you go.
It was definitely ETS.
It was. They're people persons.
That's right. That's right. You know how to talk to people. But seeing them live, that was it for me, man. And then I got the album, and then it was, you know, I went into BC as a freshman.
It's over, and they're coming to Jacksonville.
I can't wait.
So,
great.
All right, a lot of things to weigh in on today. Anything Jaguar-related you want to talk about, you're welcome to bring that to the table. Hit us up on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at Meathead55, at IME to the T. Also on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, the phone lines, or the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tommy Mack, and ET with you here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Tommy Mack, ET spinning the hits for you today. Fat Tony.
Nice.
Hosting the Frangie Show with Warren Rue and Philip Heilman of the Florida Times Union all this week. He'll be back with me next week as we march into summer and towards training camp on July 25th. What did you do? You said you worked out a lot, but did you take a trip? Did you try to get away at all? Or was that like by this time, it was Tom McManus in everything to be prepared for training camp?
Yeah, so I always traveled after the season until the off-season program started. And typically I'd go down south to a friend of mine's house. He lived in Delray Beach. So get out of here for a couple months, just go down there and hang out. I'd still work out. He was a big gym guy too, so we'd do all that. But, no, once training camp ended, I pretty much stuck around, stayed in shape. I always lived at the beach, so I was always running on the beach, you know, doing drills out there. We'd play paddle ball. We'd, you know, put a tennis court in the sand in the low tide, and, man, we'd go at it. And, you know, had some guys come over. We'd run in the deep sand. I always took martial arts, yoga, you know, so pretty much stuck around. Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
I did a bunch of I didn't go out as much. I still went out, but didn't go out as much. No, but basically just, you know, the off-season program was pretty vigorous. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, just show up and kind of work out. I mean, it was pretty hardcore.
Right.
And then you did extra stuff, you know, and so it was a lot of rest and a lot of, you know, still working out. So I didn't go anywhere. I mean, you go back home if you want, but my home was in Florida. My parents lived in New Smyrna Beach. So I'd go down there for a little bit, hang out with them for a week or so, work out, that kind of thing. But nothing big.
Love New Smyrna Beach.
Oh, me too, man. What a great beach town.
So much better than Daytona.
Without a doubt.
If you just like the beach.
Without a doubt. Actually, that strip, I think it's Flagler, it's built up incredibly. If you want a cool vacation, just go to New Smyrna Beach. It's
we used
really
to do
nice.
That, yeah, back in the day with my family.
You drive on the beach, too.
No doubt. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Gary on the south side wants to hop in on at one of the questions of the day. Not sure which one. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Mike, Tom. Yeah, sports theme, Mike, I like Center Field by John Fogerty.
That's a great
one.
Oh,
yeah. Put me in coach.
I love that song.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tom will be right on the phone getting his tickets tomorrow since he's named Guns N' Roses as your favorite band. Hey, guys, I'm going to take Josh Allen as the Rookie of the Year. I know it's probably an easy, obvious pick, but I think it would – I just have a feeling he's going to have a huge rookie year. I mean, the guy was a specimen at Kentucky, and boy, it would sure help the Jags to have him get a 10-sack rookie season. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Gary. Look, I hope that's the case.
That's
I'm not
going to
set any limit on Josh Allen. I said this yesterday with was it with D-Rock or was it with Ozier?
When we're D-Rock talking? Was yesterday. Oh, what'd you say?
Yeah, I'm trying to think about if Unique did not play. My expectation is if Josh Allen was a full-time defensive end coming in.
10 sacks.
10 sacks.
That was yesterday with D-Rock.
That was. Yep. I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable. You know, for 10 sacks when he's going to be rotated with Ngakoue and Calais Campbell. I mean, look, they're all going to be rotated regardless to some degree,
right,
no matter who the other person is. I just think there are more opportunities. If he was starting playing early downs, he's going to pick up a few extra sacks
along
the way.
Yeah, I mean, look, what he did in college is phenomenal,
right?
Especially in the SEC. You know, let's see how it translates first,
no doubt.
But I'd like to see that. I think Miles, maybe, I don't know if he – I don't know. I got to see him more at the mic, but I think Ronnie Harrison's a star in the making. I think Ronnie – could be the safety. I think he could be a very, very good player in this league. So he may be my pick for making a Pro Bowl.
Oh, for a first-timer for a Pro Bowl. That's a nice one off the board
thanks.
A little bit right there. My point was with Josh Allen. And, by the way, I think Unique will play. And I certainly hope he plays because it makes the Jags better to have all three.
Absolutely.
Tom, if most teams, many teams, I haven't gone through and figured out if it's the majority or not, but I think many teams, if they drafted Josh Allen in the top 10 this year or just drafted Josh Allen this year, would automatically be considered their potentially best defensive end
away. Right.
Where on this team, all you need him to be is a really good number three defensive end. You know,
right.
So I do think if Unique were to hold out, and again, don't expect that to happen into the regular season, but if it were or if one of those guys gets hurt, the Jags are better positioned with Josh Allen. And granted, he's a rookie. He's never proven anything, but he's a rookie with a great body of work that he brings with him.
Josh, if Unique wasn't here, Josh would play Unique's position.
No doubt.
That's what they would draft him for. They're saying, hey, you know what? You're our right defensive end. You're going to go against the left tackle, and you're going to pressure the quarterback. You know,
right, go get it,
But go get it.
And you're going to play QB. You're going to play everything. You're going to play base downs.
That's
You're going to – and I do think in that circumstance his numbers would be
he's a luxury impressive. Pick, Mike. He wasn't supposed to be there.
I
and they didn't necessarily
you.
Need him, right? I mean, obviously, you can always add a great talent like that. But, yeah, to me, he's a luxury pick.
It kind of went back to the Coughlin formula in New York where he spent a couple of picks on defensive ends.
That's
when
right.
you looked at the roster, you said, well – it's not a great position of need right now. I remember the Eagles in the early 2000s loaded up on defensive backs. They were always drafting cornerbacks ahead of time. And then you'd look at them, you're like, you have Troy Vincent, you've got all these other guys. And those guys would age out, and they'd have guys ready to step right in and play at a high level. Yesterday, Tom, I want to get your thought on this. We asked a question of the day, which do you think of these four things is the most likely to happen. Okay, and I'll read them to you in the order we listed them.
Okay.
Okay. None of them have. Well, you'll hear. Okay. Nick Foles starts all 16 games. Right. He has never done that.
Okay.
In an NFL season. Leonard Fournette averages 4.5 yards a carry. A lot of guys, you know, it seemed, I know, you shuddered.
Okay.
But you look at how many running backs, and I was doing this morning, and it's tough because if you go to the stats, the top of the average per carry is dominated by wide receivers who only get a handful of carries, you know, and they run a reverse and get 10 yards. But there are so many running backs that average 4.5 yards a carry. It's not even funny. So anyway, that Foles starting all 16, Fournette averaging 4.5. Telvin ever playing for the Jaguars again. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about ever. Or Yannick Ngakoue getting a new contract done with the Jags before the first game of the 2019 season. Which is the most likely to happen?
Last one.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm still not sold on this offensive line. I'm still not sold on left tackle. I'm not sold on the entire offensive line. So, you know, until that is gelled and working well, I mean, how is anybody going to average anything? How is Foles going to stay upright? I mean, that to me is the biggest concern going into this season. What's the O-line look like, and how are they going to play together? How are they going to come together to not just be an okay line? You got to be a really good line. I don't know if you got to be dominant, you know, that kind of thing. I think that word gets thrown around a lot. But you got to be a solid offensive line that can make some room for your running back and give your quarterback some time on a consistent game-by-game basis.
How confident are you that they can do that if they stay healthy? I know health is a big question mark. It was last year.
I'm still concerned about Cam Robinson. I still am concerned. Now, hey, a new year, coming off the injury, but a new year.
Right.
Maybe he got better at his technique. Maybe he's, you know, got better at his footwork. That, I mean, he's got all the tools. We know that. But having all the tools and putting it together are two different things. So you got to solidify that left tackle position, whether it's him or whether it's Juwan Taylor that moves over, which it doesn't sound like they're talking about that or thinking about that. It's Cam or nothing. Josh Wells, of course, can play in there, but you better have a more than solid left tackle to win in this
league. I mean, we're a long way away from getting to the start of the regular season, never mind the start of training camp. I do think ultimately Juwan Taylor will emerge at the right tackle position, but I'm going to take it as a positive. You can look at it a couple of different ways. Like Cedric Abuehi, who's never done much to distinguish himself
in
the NFL,
was
a very high draft pick, first-round pick. I'm going to take it as a positive that he has looked good up to this point. Now, looking good is a relative thing as well because they're not it's not full padded contact practices. I think Juwan Taylor's strength is something you'll see on display in training camp. Yep. But is it a major disappointment or how would you categorize it or characterize it if Juwan Taylor doesn't earn the starting spot right out of the gates?
You know, second-round picks are supposed to be playing a lot, at least. At least playing a lot, if not a starter. So I'd be somewhat disappointed if he wasn't the starting right tackle.
Yeah.
I would.
I think he ultimately will end up being that. Whether it's day one or not, I think he's going to start the vast majority of games, provided he's healthy.
I think the guy you were just talking about, I'm going to butcher his name, Cedric so I won't do it, but I think he could be the right guard.
Really?
I mean, I think AJ Can, all due respect, I think he needs to be upgraded. I think that position needs to be upgraded, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, they've got him on board for a few more years, so we'll see how it works out with him.
You always need good O-line. He's a good O-line, don't get me wrong, but he's not a, you know, he's not, my guards, like my center's got to be really athletic. Right, he's got to be really athletic that can chip on that nose or the nose tackle, right, and then get up to the linebacker level and make sure that person's blocked and out of the way, and of course with the pass protection. My guards, they got to be big, nasty, road grading, move people out of the way, bury them into the ground, make sure that they understand you're there all game long. I don't see that out of AJ Cohn.
Yeah, but what he's had, and I'm not saying this is enough on its own, but what he's had compared to most of the rest of the guys on this line is he's been available. You know,
of course, no doubt, and that means a lot.
It does mean a lot.
Hey, look, Linder's hurt too much. I'm sorry. And by the way, I've talked to people. They're like, this is a year for him to really show that he's the guy.
I mean, because he got paid as the highest paid player.
Can't be on the – right? You don't make the team in the tub, Tom would always say, right?
Don't make
you
the club in the tub.
You can't be hurt. They need you out there. Hey, Norwell, same deal. He's underperformed and got hurt. So those two together, they've got to have a monster year this year for this team to do something
right.
special.
Right. Maybe I'm just it's wishful thinking. I think the potential is there. I don't think you have to have five great offensive linemen, right?
You have to have five that work together and make a great off. They're one unit when it all comes down to it, right? They're one unit. That unit does have to be at least better than average, if not great, in order to do some things.
I look, I'd rather you had a great left tackle, but if Norwell and Linder play up to the contracts that they gave them, right? Yep. And they play like top five guys at their position. Yep. That's how they're being paid.
That's right.
Then you're off to a pretty good start. Agreed. Then you can have a solid guy like A.J. Cann. And I'm not saying don't open up the competition.
I know you
play the best guys.
Agreed.
You know, but if A.J. Cann ends up being the starting right guard and Linder and Norwell, and this is, again, presuming guys stay healthy, if Linder and Norwell play up to their potential,
right,
and you get, you know.
And Cam, too. Throw Cam in there to play to his potential.
All these guys. Yep. Juwan Taylor obviously was considered by many as a first-round talent in this year's draft. So if you have two – you know, exceptional players, which Linder and Norwell may be. At least they talk about them like they think they could be.
Yep.
And you got two above-average guys or an above-average guy and a couple of average guys.
Right.
Not every team – like, we talked about it the other day. The Dallas Cowboys offensive line does not come around very often.
That's right. That's right. Well, look at the Colts. Who's their right guard? Don't look it up. You know who their left guard is?
Yeah.
Quentin Nelson,
right?
Because he's a beast. Who's the right guard? I don't know.
Ryan Kelly plays next to him.
But that's my point. So to your point, you're absolutely right. You can have a total stud and a guy that's okay.
Right.
Make it work.
And as a unit, they got to get by. All right. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in. A lot of people are submitting suggestions for their favorite sports-related or sports-themed song. You can do that and also vote in our Twitter poll today about which Jaguar is the most likely to make his first Pro Bowl in 2019, whether it's one of the offerings that we put out there or whether you think of somebody else. You can submit those at MD_1010XL. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, that's Carrie Underwood's version of, or the only version that we know. That's Sunday Night.
Why'd they change it anyway? I like the original.
I do not know.
I didn't even like Game On. It was kind of weird.
Whatever.
Felt like we're getting ready to play a video game. Game On.
Honestly, by that point, I'm just ready to sit down and watch a football game uninterrupted. I do. I love it because, you know,
I love it better than Monday night.
It depends. I like it. I like them both.
I like them both. I like Thursday night. I like football in general, Mike.
You know, Tom, come to think of it, so do I. All right. So
every day.
Carrie Underwood's got this song Game On, right? Now, she's being sued by a group, a musical group, a band, whatever, who apparently submitted a song to Carrie Underwood for her consideration. They had written a song for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, like a stadium hype song for the Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
So they wanted to have a more broad kind of sports-themed song, football-themed song, that they could license to use in stadiums all over the place. So they submitted this to Carrie Underwood and the representatives, and they have an electronic trail where they replied to them in an email, and they said, sorry, we're going to have to pass at this time.
Yeah.
And apparently they're taking her to court, and they claim that the song is, with some minor changes, almost identical to the one. Let's listen. This is this is the original band. Let's do Carrie Underwood's first one more time. E, just give us a little taste of that so we can remember what that sounded like. Fired up and ready to play. Game on. Hey, it's Sunday night. Game on. All right. We got the gist of it. It's called Game On, if you couldn't figure out from the lyrics right there. All right, here is the, I guess, alleged original version of it. On the tip of your tongue, are you ready? Let's get it on. The time is now. No one here should be sitting down. Get up, get loud, make your mama proud. Game on. It's kind of similar, right? Like the beat is pretty similar too.
Yeah.
I don't have the best musical ear. But
no, right. Yeah,
you know,
it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I have a feeling they're gonna at least be able to settle this one, you know, in their favor.
You just got to find an attorney that doesn't need a bunch of upfront fees, because that big group like Carrie Underwood, they'll drain you.
Oh, right.
They'll be like, yeah, take us to court, fine. And you better have enough money to withstand how long it's gonna take.
But if they do,
oh yeah, it's big.
Yeah, then
it's big.
then you potentially
paper
get
trails the key in that thing.
Them. Right, they do have the trail like they where they submitted it and they turned it down. I would imagine it would be somewhat difficult if you get all these songs submitted to you. I don't know if like that ever got to Carrie Underwood's ears.
Right,
you know, like they, like
she who, may not even have known.
Right, who listened to that? I don't know how that whole thing works, but you know, good luck. With that whole thing. Tom, got a text for you on the text line, which is built by Lifetime Enclosures. Tommy Mack, are the physical requirements for a guard different based on blocking schemes? For instance, we've run primarily a power blocking scheme where John DeFilippo and even offensive line coach Warhop primarily use zone blocking in the past. How much different is it for what you're looking for in a guard, depending on what scheme you're running?
Well, I'll use an example. So the Falcons run a zone blocking scheme. They drafted the kid out of BC, Lindstrom. All right, he's only 305 pounds. He's not a road grader, but he's very athletic and he can be physical. So if you're running zone, they all five have to work together. So imagine that. Like if you're running power and they each got a guy to block, or there may be a double team, then a chip. Right, they got to work together on that. But it's not five guys working as one in the run game. With a zone block, right? A zone blocking scheme, that five, if you're going to left, they're all moving to the left. And that guard's got to be able to flip those hips around that big defensive tackle, give him a little chip just to help his center out to get over there, and then be athletic enough to get up to the linebacker level to block, you know, at least get in his way. So, yeah, there is a little bit difference if it's I don't know if they call it, man. I don't know what they call it. Call it a power. You got to be able to move that guy out of the way. With zone, you don't really have to. It's more based on time. It's more like a chip. It's more like just hit him a little bit. It's like when you're playing linebacker, Mike, you don't need your D lineman to hold the offensive lineman off you. You just need him to knock him a little bit so he can't come at you at a free rein and get square. Because if a guy, I don't care how big a guy is, could be 6'8", 360 pounds. If he's off balance, you can knock him on his ass. I mean, you can.
Right.
Now, granted, if he's square, that's going to be a really hard one to take on. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you just got to get a little chip and be athletic enough to move up to that second level.
Did you take a lot of martial arts? I know offensive linemen do, did you?
Oh, yeah, man. Love martial arts. I still practice it.
You hear about redirecting a guy's energy and stuff like that. That's what it sounds like to me when you talk about getting a guy a little bit off balance and let his momentum work against
him. Well, and just chip him a little bit. So, like, if you have, for instance, if I have an uncovered guard, nobody's in front of him, and that guard can go right out on my middle linebacker or linebacker.
He's going to be bigger.
It's going to be tough to two-gap or even one-gap that guy. If my nose who's shaded to that side of the guard, but he's on the center, if he can just get a hand on him to knock that shoulder a little bit off, to get that guy just a tiny bit off, I got a better chance of plugging that
hole.
Because
then he doesn't have a free run.
He doesn't have the free run, and he's not square right away.
Right.
The minute they get square. Look, for instance, we were always taught, if you see a guy pull around, like you see him pull, you got to get to that point of attack before he gets his shoulders square. Then you have a chance to really get him out of the way. Once he gets his shoulders square and turn, it's going to be real tough. Right? Remember when Nelson hit Church?
Yes.
Remember that? It was a big hit.
Yes.
Because he came around. He got square. If Church hit him before he turned and got squared, might have been a different story.
Might have been, right. That you're giving up a lot of size there.
Well, think about it. I'm going to show you. But if I'm coming around like this, I don't care how big I am, and my feet aren't square, one leg's behind the other because I'm trying to turn a corner, and someone hits me on that shoulder, I'm most likely going to that. I'm most likely getting hit.
You look at this group of offensive linemen, from what you've seen, just, you know, I know you're not breaking down the film with the Jaguar O-line, but do you get a sense what they're better equipped to do? Do you think they're better equipped to be a power or a zone blocking group?
I think they're a power. I mean, I guess they're trying to be a zone. You know, I haven't really looked into that with the new offense coordinator, but you look at Norwell, you look at Linder. I mean, they're athletic, but they're more like, hey, I'm going to take this guy on. They're big. I mean, Linder's a big center.
Yeah.
He's a big center, and Norwell's almost as big as a tackle. You know what I mean? I think those guys are more prone to be able to take a guy and at least move him a little bit. Maybe not take.
That's
not,
what look. Taylor looks like, too, coming in.
Does
you know,
he?
Juwan Taylor. Yeah. I mean, he's massive.
Good.
You know? Looks like the kind of guy, if he gets his paws on you, you're in trouble.
Well, look again. We'll use the Cowboys as an example, right? Those guys are big across the board. When they get their hands on you, they do a great job.
I mean, wouldn't you think, if Leonard Fournette's the centerpiece of your running game, wouldn't you expect it to be a power scheme?
I would. And here's the thing with running games. I don't know how many people talk about this, but it's really predicated on timing. When that back hits the hole, right? So if I think about it, if I've got a guy, I'm an offensive lineman, and I got a guy turn just for a split second, that back's got to be through the hole at that almost exact time. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Because if I just because I get him, if I turn a guy, think about like when you're wrestling with somebody, right? You could like if you and I wrestled, you could push with. I'm not a wrestler, but if we wrestled, just standing up, kind of wrestling with each other, you could push my one side back, right, by using your strength, and I could push back the other way.
Sure.
Right, and then we're even. But in between there's a gap, right? There's that gap. So if I'm the left guard and I'm turning on a guy, right, and to my left, then that back better be right next to my backside through that hole.
Got to take advantage.
These holes don't last. They don't stay open forever is right. What I'm getting at. You got to be – the timing's got to be there. But to answer your question, I would think they'd be more of a power than a zone. But, hey, the coaches know better than I.
Again, it's OTAs. They're not – in full pads, so you're not going to get the full experience of the running game there. Maurice Jones-Drew, I remember, used to complain to me at times or just observe at times. Yeah. I don't know if he was complaining to me, but that at times he didn't feel like the Jags spent enough time with the running game in the preseason, you know, especially when they got Blaine Gabbert in. You know, they're really working on the passing game, they felt like the running game was good.
Yep.
And he's like, look, if you don't stay on top of it, that what you're talking about, he talked about the fits, right? Your fits with your offensive lineman. I think that's what you're describing here.
Right.
The timing of when you've got that little crease, he said, you know, people just think you just go out there and run the football, and there's a lot more to it. So
a lot of timing.
That being said, how important is this upcoming preseason to Leonard Fournette? Because, you know, he had his own absences from a lot of games last year due to injury or whatever, and you know, you had plenty of injuries in front of him. How important? It's not just the offensive line working together. It's almost
important.
Like a six-man group.
It's
right?
Very, very important. No doubt. Throw the tight end in there too to make it seven. But yeah, it's very important to work on that timing. Think of those. You know, you see it all the time when you're watching the games. You know, a back it gets the ball. You can't dance in the backfield. The minute you dance, you're done. Right? Someone penetrates and you got to move. That's a different story. But if you're dancing in that hole trying to find where to go, you're going to get shut down, right? You see those – the best running games are the ones where that back's got three choices. I'm going to the hole they called, I'm banging it outside, or I'm taking one step and cutting back the other way, right? I got three ways to go, and I got to read what's going on in order for me to do that, and I got to read not just what the defense is doing, but how my offensive line is blocking to make sure – like, look, if we're all moving to the left – and I see immediately there's no room to the life. To the left. I'm planting my left foot and I'm coming back to the right.
Because you got the whole defense going that way.
Going that way as well. Exactly right. So the timing of the running game is very important. If Leonard Fournette is the workhorse, which we expect him to be, then he needs to work. They need to work on that running game timing throughout the course of the preseason to be ready for the regular season.
641-1010. If you want to hop in, talk a little Jaguar football with Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus. Manuel Thalerand here. Let's see. There are people talking about the Carrie Underwood stuff here. I don't know if I'm just going to read it as it comes in. On the phone, they'll have to have proof that they're recording what's done prior to the copyright. It's just way over my head. We'll see how the lawsuit plays out.
Legalities, Mike.
I have no idea. You know, I'm just it's just in the news out there. It's a pretty prominent thing, and it happens from time to time. You see, musicians get taken down, or
film, TV, music. They'll all steal everything. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
Did you have that experience?
No, I don't think so. But I do know from trying that and still trying that. By the way, Village Roadshow is reading one of my scripts, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So they just found that out yesterday. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
But yeah, you gotta. My attorney said, you just gotta make sure that you document everything, save everything. And then if anything ever happens, at least you got a shot to prove that, hey, this is my original, IP, intellectual property,
sure,
and they took it. It's all right. Very hard, though. It's very hard to be able to prove that.
Got somebody on Twitter pointed out that Chinese Democracy came out in 2008. Remember, it was like the longest running
joke. It took
joke.
Forever, though.
It was like their second album, wasn't it? Did they do something in between? They announced like years ago, talking about Guns N' Roses.
Whose second album?
Guns N' Roses.
Nah, they had Lives and Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
That's true. But they, right? they what At whatever point they stopped, Chinese Democracy was supposed to be like their next.
The last, thing, right. That, right. After and they broke, before they broke up, that was going to be the next
you
one.
You had to wait like.
A long time.
A couple decades or a decade.
I don't even remember any tunes that came out of that.
I don't either. That's why I didn't even forget. It was kind of like the running joke, you know, when it's Chinese Democracy.
Right. No, it was for a long time. No doubt.
Apparently.
I don't even know one song on it.
Years, though.
Yeah.
So.
I still love
it. That's been out there.
The best.
Got a lot of song submissions coming in. We'll read through some of those a little bit later on. A couple of the questions we put out there today. One of those, what is your favorite sports-related or sports-themed song? It can be any, you know, whatever tie to the world of sports. Somebody asked, does Gonna Fly Now qualify?
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. It's a freaking Rocky theme, man.
Rocky's
that's
the best.
That's as qualifying as anything out there.
What a love story.
It really was.
That's all it was. It was a love story that had boxing in it.
It was a love story with turtles, which was nice.
And he still has the turtles from
Cuff
told.
And Link.
Yeah,
Cuff. They live a long time, apparently. He does still have the original turtles. Yeah. Joey James said, anything by the songbird of our generation, Dan Hicken, who has done he's got quite an extensive playlist now.
It's pretty awful, but yes, he does.
It can't suck. There are a few that are good.
I haven't heard one yet. I know when I call the line here and I get it, I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to listen to this stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Jags Day, but that was more of a heel tones thing. And what was the original one? The one where they took on the Patriots and. I can't think of it. Sweet Jags of Mine.
That one was pretty good.
There were a couple of them that were catchy. Some others.
Clever.
Forgettable.
We'll just call them Clever.
Clever. Yeah. There you go. All right. we will take a time out here halfway through the program, coming back with this date in football and also the Roland Reich roll around the National Football League. If you want to weigh in, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up on social media, Jags Today Facebook page, or on Twitter at MD_1010XL at Meathead55. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, and ET here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, just got a quartet of birthdays for you on this date in football history. June the 20th, we go back to 1935. He's still alive and kicking. Len Dawson, was a great quarterback. Primarily known for his time with the Kansas City Chiefs, but he was the fifth overall pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 1957. A few years later, he found his way to the Dallas Texans, who would become the Kansas City Chiefs, and with that franchise made seven Pro Bowls, two-time first-team All-Pro, three-time AFL champ, won a Super Bowl there, and was the Man of the Year in 73 and a Hall of Fame inductee in 87.
Didn't we interview him once? I have a vague memory of us interviewing Len Dawson.
You
back
may
in the
have.
Day.
It might have been, you know, because we were in the wilderness for a while, separated from each other. Now we're back. I don't recall ever interviewing Len Dawson.
Or at least talking to him on the phone or so. He's great. He was great.
Possibly. Maybe you had him on like the Summer of Legends.
Oh, remember with JC Godby.
Yeah,
Godby, cool.
That was a very good feature that you guys did back in the day. So Len Dawson alive and kicking at the age of 84, at least, according to my internet research. Born in the state in 1978, happy 41st to the second overall pick in the 2000 NFL draft. That would be LeVar Arrington.
Oh, yeah.
Made three Pro Bowls. Remember, LeVar Arrington cut his own separate marketing deal. He did not become part of the Players Association because he wanted to market himself, thought he would make more money. I don't know how it worked out for him on that front. I'll never forget, I had a friend who covered the Jacksonville Suns back when I was doing their games back in the early 2000s, and he had a high school buddy who got drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Obviously a different sport, but he said when he first got called up, they had a room for him in Sky Dome because there's they have a hotel in there, and you didn't have a place to stay. And B, he goes to his locker and he had checks in his locker totaling something like $30,000. He's like, why do I have these checks? And they said, that's your cut of the collectively bargained marketing deal from like baseball cards and and that, and every player got a slice of the pie.
Nice.
You have a similar story like that from the NFLPA?
No, I wish. Come on, NFL.
I know LeVar Arrington had his likeness banned from one of the
Football video games. Yeah, I remember
then.
That.
Right, yeah. Yeah. That was because he
was a good player, man.
He was a good player.
He was
player.
Really good at Penn State.
Really good broadcaster now, too. Very opinionated
really?
Guy okay. up in D.C. Yeah, he is. He's
I just liked him.
We had him. I think Tony and I might have had him on last year at the Super Bowl, as a matter of fact. Nice. Terrell Pryor, Jaguar wide receiver, had his best season in 2016 with the Browns, caught 77 balls for just over 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. He turns 30 years old today.
Prime age.
Hey, you know what? It's got a prime opportunity when you look at the depth chart, right?
And, definitely.
You know, D-Rock wrote on ESPN.com, they did a thing on which veteran might not make it to the season opener, and he picked Terrell Pryor.
Huh?
Because you look at it, you got to figure Marquise Lee's spot is safe, Westbrook's spot.
Yep.
Connolly's been impressive, and they brought him in this offseason, and DJ Chark. He's safe as can be.
That's right.
Keelan Cole's had a good offseason so far. But
not a lock.
Not a lock.
He's got a lot to prove.
And also, is it 5? Is it 6? How many do you keep? And who brings special teams value to the position as well? So Terrell Pryor, 30 years old today. His teammate, Quentin Meeks, Jaguar cornerback, is 23 years old today.
Wow.
I'm jealous, man. You know what? Every year, Tom, I get a little bit more jealous of these youngsters out there, the youth that they have.
Do you?
I do.
I don't.
No?
No, I married a younger girl, so I feel young.
All right. I feel young, too, but I know my body does not have 70 years left in it. Let's put it that way. I don't know if Quentin Meeks does either, but nevertheless, happy birthday to Quentin Meeks, Terrell Pryor, LeVar Arrington, and Len Dawson. That collectively is this
Good
date
group.
In football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing.
All right.
Where quality and experience count.
Hey, I did it. I jumped you there, E.
That was the first time.
I'm getting anxious. Was it the first time all week?
Yeah.
That was pretty good of me, I thought, to make it this far. Tony usually does this segment,
Tom. That's right.
I can be forgiven. There's not a whole lot of headlines, but what we do have, Gerald McCoy is a former Tampa Bay Buck.
Yeah,
now, they didn't want to pay him the double-digit tens of millions of dollars or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they signed Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
And then they promptly reissued Gerald McCoy's number to Ndamukong Suh, 93. And Gerald McCoy taking it as a great sign of disrespect says it shows what the franchise thinks
of me. Your name ain't Leroy Selman or Warren Sapp or Simeon Rice, I'm sorry.
All right.
That doesn't adhere.
Derek Brooks.
Well, I was talking D Lyman. But yeah, Derek Brooks was phenomenal. Hardy Nickerson. They do. Lonnie March was part of that team, too. That was a great defense.
They really did have a fantastic
Booger
defense.
McFarlane?
Yeah.
Remember?
I do.
I remember Wade telling me, John Wade, who went down there to play for them after. He's like, Sapp and McFarlane run 100-yard sprints with the DBs and keep up.
Wow.
They're both 300 pounds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I was like, are you kidding me? He's like, no, dude, you got to see these guys run.
It's I'm not a fan of Sapp as a guy, but a phenomenal player.
Phenomenal. Probably one of the best three techniques in the history.
And had a draft day slide because of drug rumors of failed drug tests
today
in Miami.
Today wouldn't matter. Today would be like, whatever.
Well, it's interesting.
It was marijuana, wasn't it, I think?
I think so.
I think it was marijuana.
But it came out, it was similar to the Laramie Tunsil thing. I don't think it came out like that moment, but it came out very late, day before the day of the first round of the draft.
Yep.
And the Jets were among the teams that passed on him that year when they certainly could have used him. A lot of teams probably could have used him back then. What else? Tariq Cohen said that Matt Nagy replays the Bears playoff loss often to motivate the Bears. Did Tom Coughlin ever use a tactic like that with the Jaguars?
No.
Was what was done in the past just done? Was that kind of the?
I mean, look, you'd go back on your own time and do it. You know, you go check it out.
Did you do it? Why? What did you hope to get from watching that? Just the feeling of I don't want to have that feeling again, or where did we go wrong? Did you look at it from a football, like an X's and O's standpoint?
How did I play, and how could I have done better?
Okay,
for sure. You know, it's funny when my father was alive. You know, back in the day with the VHS, right? I'd watch when I was home. I'd watch Boston College tapes because that's all I had at the time, and I would always scroll through the bad place. And he'd be like, "Hey, run that one back. Let's take a look at that one." Always keeping me humble. Right? Like, look at this great play. And then there'd be a bad play. I'd be like, fast forward.
I'm on my time, Pop. Back off. All right.
Yeah. No, but it's good. It's good to watch film when you do well and when you don't do well, because you can get a lot out of both.
It seems like in this case, Tariq Cohen is saying that his coach is trying to just instill that feeling of don't forget what it feels like that you were the favorite.
Right.
Don't take anything for granted. I don't know how that helps Tariq Cohen when they're going through the seemingly endless search for a kicker because Cody Parkin couldn't split the uprights. And, you know, you do all that.
Yep.
And what is Tariq Cohen supposed to do differently? You know, we're in position to win the game, Coach.
Right.
They gave Tariq Cohen the ball four times in that game.
Really? I didn't know that. That is crazy because he had a great year.
He had a fantastic year.
How about they just find a kicker? You know, they had one in Robbie Gould.
At one point, and he wants to go back. He's franchised by the 49ers.
Right. I saw that.
Hasn't signed his franchise tag. He's pouting about it. He wants to go back and play for the Bears.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 49ers are like,
I'd rather be in Chicago than San Fran, for sure, in my opinion.
What would be an easier place to kick, though? Would it matter that much?
Chicago's tough just with the weather.
That's what I'm thinking,
the weather's
right?
challenging, without a doubt. I don't remember San Fran. I don't know if I ever played at San Fran. I was hurt when we played them out there. They came here in 99. I remember hitting Steve Young. I was like, wow, this guy's really, like, put together. He was not a small quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe not this tall, but as far as, like, his build. But I don't remember playing in San Fran, but I know in Chicago that the weather's a big-time factor.
One more just because I mentioned him earlier in the week. Do you see the deal where the Lions traded tight end Michael Roberts? Agreed to trade him to the Patriots.
Yep.
And they rescinded it because he failed the physical. So they waived him, and the Packers picked him up, and he failed another physical.
Did he really?
Yes, he did. Oh, so apparently he's got something definitely going on. But so now three teams have turned down a chance.
You know, as a guy that had two major injuries, there's nothing more frustrating when your body doesn't cooperate with your mind and your heart. That's really challenging.
Right, you know what you want to do, right? I imagine.
And you try to do it, and then you just break down. Whatever.
In your head, your head's not any slower. Right? I mean, your mind's saying, I should be there in 0.2 seconds or whatever, and it's taking you 0.4.
Actually, it just happened to me a couple days ago, Mike. I was out for a run-walk. I do this run-walk thing. I run for a minute. I walk for a half a minute. But when I run, I try to pick up the pace. And I got a little twinge in the calf, and I had to, like, slow it down. It really made me mad. I was like, come on, man. I stretched.
You
wanted to
power
everything
through.
Yeah, because you get the music going. You know, you got the anthems going. You feel like Rocky. You're hauling
right,
ass.
I was
going to
say, what's on your playlist right now?
Oh, I got a ton. I got Metallica. I got Guns. I've got AC/DC.
All towards the heavy metal
end
of the spectrum.
Yeah, not totally. You know, I'll listen to a little variety. Every teardrop is a waterfall. That gets me rocking a little bit, when you're running.
Sure.
You know, things like that. So, but not all. I'm not a headbanger. I like heavy metal. I don't consider Metallica headbang. Like Pantera's more that, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I like, even with Guns, I mean, Guns' lyrics, they have meaning. I mean, they're about life if you think about it. So I like that kind of stuff more than the actual heavy.
Tom McManus.
Banging.
Modern day. Musical philosopher on Jaguars Today.
What's that line in Sweet Child of Mine? The hair reminds me of a warm, safe place where as a child I would hide.
Right.
Yeah.
And pray for the thunder rain to
quietly pass me by. Right?
Right. Just
who
like
didn't
right
do
now,
that?
By the way, Taylor Dahl came down the hall and said the roof's about to blow off.
Yeah, big storms.
1010XL. It's like a hurricane out there. It has been kind of nasty. I got really lucky on the vacay, man. I got the
Did you get good weather?
Perfect weather.
Oh,
the whole tie is unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Came home to this mess. All right. Questions of the day out there on social media. Which Jaguars most likely to earn his first trip to the Pro Bowl in this upcoming season? We'll give you an update on where things stand on the voting to this point. Leonard Fournette, Miles Jack, Dede Westbrook, or someone else, and you tell us who that someone would be. You can vote there at MD_1010XL. Also, the bonus question, what is your favorite sports-related or sports-themed song? And we'll go through some of those submissions as well. Mike Dempsey, Tommy Mack, and E.T. here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Even with Guns, I mean, Guns' lyrics, they have meaning. I mean, they're about life if you think about it. So I like that kind of stuff more than the actual heavy.
Tom McManus.
Banging.
Modern day musical philosopher here on Jaguars Today.
What's that line in Sweet Child of Mine? The hair reminds me of a warm, safe place where as a child I would hide.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, all right then.
I love it.
All right then. What do you get out of AC/DC? Is it just
No, I love,
I know you love AC/DC.
Girls Got Rhythm, Shot Down in Flames, Giving the Dog a Bone. Yeah, that's all real life stuff, right?
Sure it is.
Thunderstruck.
Depends on whose life
we're talking about.
Somebody
about
mentioned Thunderstruck.
That's a good one.
Earlier as one of their favorite music, sports-related.
Yep.
Sports-related is a wide category. It could be just a song that you hear in an arena or a stadium, or your particular team plays. As somebody mentioned, Skinner's Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay.
I wouldn't think, you know, that immediately you hear that and you don't necessarily think sports related, unless you're a Jaguar fan that used to play in the stadium all the time.
That's right.
You know,
that's,
and,
yeah. Where else? I mean, you must hear it at Alabama games, I would
think
imagine.
So.
Oh, yeah, you definitely do.
Yeah, I would think.
My buddy used to play baseball for the University of Alabama, and a couple of them, that was their walk-up song.
Oh, nice.
Was it? Mm-hmm. So very you definitely hear it there.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I like Hell's Bells, too. That's a good one. I remember going to Oakland in 96, and that came on before they came out in the beginning of the game. I was like, whoa. The hair stood up on my forearm. It was pretty
cool.
Did you
win that
black
game?
Hole. No, we lost. We lost on Jerry Ball. Remember Jerry Ball, the D lineman?
Yes.
There was a tip ball at the line of scrimmage, and that big, he must have been 350 pounds. He picked it up, like, out of the air and ran, like, 70 yards for a touchdown, and nobody could catch him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, and we lost, like,
16-3. Because you weren't on the field.
I wouldn't have caught him.
Nah.
Not only in short spaces, Mike. Short little spaces I was good at.
Here are some submissions, Tom. You see if this floats your boat or if you think this applies. Certainly, we mentioned Gonna Fly Now, which is the theme song to Rocky. That absolutely qualifies. Center field, Dan Fogarty.
For baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. Yep. Curtis Blow's Basketball, my buddy Javon submitted that one. That was our high school basketball layup line song.
What?
Back
which
in the
one?
Day. You know. We're playing I'm not going to sing it.
We're playing
basketball. We love that
basketball. I don't know if I know that one.
Oh.
Dig up a sample for him.
I got you.
Because basketball is my favorite
sport. I tell you
sport.
One thing I do remember at a young age. We will rock you at a different school, like playing basketball, like our school against her school. And that came on, and they started banging on the bleachers. And we were like, whoa. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I said it was my favorite sport. I was just trying to quote the song.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eye of the Tiger from Rocky. It's all right. Well, you don't like Eye of the Tiger?
I do, but do you ever hear it in a state? I've never heard it.
Maybe
in a
not.
Stadium.
You probably do from time to time.
Maybe
you probably used to.
A little softer than.
Is it too soft for you? Gonna Fly Now?
Yeah, but that's got meaning, you know? That's got meaning. That's
Eye of the Tiger doesn't?
Hey, Rocky 3 was okay, you know? I like Clubber Lang. That was kind of cool. I was scared of him when he showed up on screen.
What's your prediction for the fight, Tom?
Yeah, pain, baby. Pain.
Of course it is. Give me a little Curtis Blow there, Eve.
Never.
You've never heard this?
I don't think I have.
Really?
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm not down. I'm not
that
down.
That does.
With the times.
That immediately takes me back to my JV days.
Layup lines. Yeah.
In a terrible. We were green and gold were our colors, but like a Kelly green, right?
Yep.
And we had these horrible, like lime green warm-ups that we wore that didn't look at all like our school colors.
Yep.
And God knows how long they'd been in rotation.
You know, it's funny. My youngest, Harley May, she's at a sports camp this week. She's been playing basketball. I said, oh, you've been doing some layups? She's like, what's a layup? I'm like, they're not teaching you a freaking
they're teaching
layup.
Them three, they go right.
Do
to
I gotta
the
go down there and
now.
Show them how to do a layup? And she's like, they're not even teaching us.
You would
layups.
Think that's kind of fundamental. You know,
right? Three-man weave,
right?
One of my favorites.
We used to do three when I coached soccer.
Oh
yeah, I do that as a drill. Yeah. The three-man weave.
They do that in soccer too. The three-man weave.
Well, you do it in practice.
You can.
Right. We did that in practice.
I've never seen it done on the soccer
field. It was fun because I was not exactly. You may be surprised to learn this. I'm not exactly a soccer tactician. Okay, but I just took whatever I had to run at suicides. Right. Take any basketball a warm up. You know,
I never thought about
it. Instead of
that.
Dribbling with your hand, you dribble with your foot.
That's right.
Do the same thing. Yeah, we did three-man weave all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Suicides on the soccer field.
Suicides, man.
Absolutely.
These little nine-year-olds need to learn.
They got
to
run.
Life ain't going to be handed to
you. That's right. Soccer's about running. You got to run.
Got to run. Oh, it's all about running. Let's see. Duval Till We Die. Let's see. Getting these mixed in with the – whoa, oh, oh, ooh, whoa, whoa, dun, 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 you know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Hey.
Not to be confused with Uh-Oh, which was the Jaguars championship song from the night. You remember that one?
That was the dumbest thing those players ever did. I was on the team, was hurt.
Jags going to the Super Bowl.
Awful. Yeah, awful. That jinxed the whole thing.
How did that play?
I have no idea how that even happened.
Right, like, that came out – I'm trying to remember at what point it came out. It was before they played.
Too early is what it came out.
Certainly it came out too early. Did do you remember, like, did Coughlin ever remark about that, or
so
did it cross his radar?
That was 99. I was on IR. That's why I never – because I was away from the stadium.
Right.
Like, in a cast for like 8 weeks. I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything. So I didn't they didn't send a limo to pick me up like they did for RJ
Sauer. So Tom
Sauer
could be around the team.
So I wasn't around. Like, right? We don't need this kid around.
Who, by the way, since we're throwing RJ under the bus, somebody suggested the other day was the worst tipper of any former or current Jaguar when
really?
It came to like pizza delivery. We were talking about that the other day. Do athletes tip better, worse, or the same?
What do you give the pizza guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
Throw $5, it's a feel. $10.
It's a feel kind
okay.
of thing. I don't give him.
I'm a good
bucks.
Tipper.
I don't. I
used to be on the receiving
pizza
end.
Pizza delivery
tip.
Guy, $10.
Yeah,
that's a little much. You got uh-oh for us there.
Okay,
give us a little sample, and then you can tell us where you were headed with that story.
Hey you, what you gonna do? Hey you, what you gonna do? 49ers, what you gonna do? Ravens, tell me what you gonna do? Jets, what you gonna do? Steelers, what you gonna do? Cowboys, what you gonna do? When the Jags come with you, Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Jags coming for you.
You didn't mention the Titans. That jinxed it too.
Right.
I don't remember the whole
what
word. I shut
do?
It off. I never listened to the whole thing.
What you gonna do? I'm not even gonna say what their reply was to that. So
yeah.
I think wasn't Keenan part of the mix?
There was a bunch of the guys.
Right.
I did.
And if I'm right about that, if I'm a Jaguar wide receiver, I think I'm keeping that very at the ready on
right.
my phone, right? Like, you're going to say what? Uh-oh.
Right.
Are you sure you want to comment about what I'm doing right now? All right,
that's
so how did that – you were going to say, like, when that came out, or did you
– I just remember when I heard about it, I was like, oh, that jinxed it. You can't do that. Because remember the Super Bowl shuffle – for the Bears. That's what they
right.
were trying to do. That was after the Super Bowl.
Was it after?
I think so. I don't remember them doing it before the Super Bowl. I can't remember.
Now I'm gonna
let's look it up. Let's look it
up.
But I always thought it was
the Super
after.
Bowl shuffle.
But that's what they were trying to get at, I thought. I was like, oh, man, you just screwed the whole thing up.
We going to the Super Bowl, and we going to win that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. That might have been a little premature
yeah,
as
it was
well.
A little- yeah.
When did the Super
Plus,
Bowl
Plus, don't ever call
shuffle.
Super Bowl the B word, all right? Have some respect for crying out loud.
Debut.
The Super Bowl.
It is that. Oh, no, Tom. Sorry.
It came out before?
Super Bowl shuffle came out in December.
Oh.
Of
well, they were much better than we were then.
They were really good.
They
Chicago
were much
Bears
better
in
than
85.
We were. Because they got through it.
A rap song performed by players of the Chicago Bears football team released December 3rd, 1985, recorded
yep.
the day after their only loss of the season. So
yep.
that was that Monday night.
Wow, they lost to Miami.
Yeah.
I remember it
was
well.
Like two-thirds of the way into the year, something like
yeah.
that. So they recorded
it was,
that.
No, it was late. It was they were 13-0 or 12-0
was
at
it
the time.
That late?
I think so. I
okay.
think so, from
either
what I remember.
Way, so they recorded it, put it out, and it came out 2 months prior to the Super Bowl.
Wow, no kidding.
So I wonder how Ditka felt about it back in the day. Was he in that? Was he featured? I don't think so.
No,
right?
I don't
like,
think he
like,
was in it.
Obviously, he didn't sing or anything, but I didn't know if he had like a walk-on cameo.
Yeah.
I have such a kind of an embarrassing story about the Super Bowl
oh,
shuffle.
Oh, do tell.
Uh-oh.
Gotta hear it.
But back when I was in high school, at Clay High School, we were really good. We ran the area. And one of our fellow running backs came up with a concept to do the district champ shuffle. And we recorded it, and it's online somewhere. I'm going to find it, and I'll send
oh.
it to
you're,
you.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
And I had, everybody had a verse, and my verse was pretty legit.
Was it?
Yeah, it's pretty. I'm going to find it, and I'll
I
send
think,
it to
I
you.
I can't remember. What was Gary Fensick's line
oh.
in it? Gary Fensick had a great line in the song.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
He was a great player. That whole team was great. I was a sophomore in high school up there in Chicago when that was going on. One of the greatest memories of my entire life.
All right, I'm going to have to
sports
dig up
memory.
The lyrics on the shuffling crew and,
there you
and
go.
See what it was.
Yep.
Walter Payton got in.
Yeah,
Mike
sweetness.
Singletary.
Oh, yeah, they were
I
all in it.
Winners.
I remember. Yeah,
yeah. You also participated in the Super Bowl shuffle there, Mike. Richard Dent, Fensick, the whole lot
yep.
of them were in on it back
yep.
in the day.
Yep.
So a lot of imitators came along the line. Key and Peele did a sketch. Key and Peele is – just a tremendously funny show, or was.
Yep.
The East-West Bowl rap they did as kind of a parody of that. We'll go through some of the other ones. I'm now eagerly anticipating the Clay High School version
the
of
district
the Super
champ
Bowl shuffle.
That's
the district
hilarious.
Champs shuffle. See, like, that's the difference between Emmanuel, one of the differences between us is, A, I will sing on occasion on the air. I'm not going to sing Curtis Blow. I can't hit those notes. And B, if I had participated in the district championship shuffle, I might have never brought that up on the program. I'm just saying, that's, for me, In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, yep, was suggested. As Hacker once said, one of the great American rock and roll tunes of all time. Walk of Life by Dire Straits. The music video is like a bunch of,
that's right,
baseball bloopers and stuff, yep, like that.
And football, I think.
Sports, yeah, bloopers. Yeah. Enter Sandman. I'm partial to that one for Mariano Rivera. San Diego Chargers theme song. San Diego Superchargers had their song. The Dolphins, a lot of teams had their own song,
right,
back in the day. Another one for Center Field. Boy, got a ton of these coming in. Eye of the Tiger, We Are the Champions. I like Paradise by the Dashboard Lights. It's not, yeah, you don't play it at a musical venue, but it's got that whole kind of double entendre baseball, yeah, play-by-play going on,
sure,
in the middle of it.
Yeah,
I enjoy
he's on
that.
His way to second.
I enjoy, exactly, right. Oh, and he's, oh, look, he's safe.
Hey,
safe.
He's no, safe. He's out. No, he's
still,
he's,
no,
safe.
He's safe. He's still second base. So, all right, Sweet Jags of Mine by Hicken. The Space Jam intro. I heard these guys talking about it this morning. You know, they're redoing Space Jam, the movie.
Oh yeah.
That, did you ever see that?
No.
Neither did I.
No.
Never saw that
movie.
That's
with Bugs Bunny, right?
Bugs Bunny and, yeah, and Michael Jordan.
Nah.
And several
I didn't see
others.
Shazam either.
You didn't?
Nah.
We did.
Did
we
you?
We saw Shazam. Yeah, yeah, we see all the superhero movies that come out.
But. No, Shazam with, wasn't it Shaq?
Oh, you're thinking Kazam.
Was it Kazam?
Kazam, yes. I saw Shazam recently. I did not see Kazam either.
Okay.
That one was Shaq. I did, yeah, see Blue Chips, though.
Oh, yeah, that was a good
which
one.
Which was not that
I
bad.
I liked that movie.
It was
Nick Nolte was the coach.
Right, it was Shaq, it was Penny Hardaway, and it was the guy,
ooh,
from Indiana. It was, the left-hander,
yeah,
from Indiana. And I just had his name in my head a second ago.
I know who you're talking about,
and it
too.
Went out the other side. Calbert Chaney, right? Wasn't it Calbert Chaney?
No, I don't remember that name. I thought it was.
That's who I think it was.
I can't remember now.
Anyway, they were, yeah, like the trio,
okay,
back in the day.
Yeah.
It was one of the better sports movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J.
Oh, I love that tune.
We Are the Champions, still,
yep,
waiting,
yep,
25 years, said Clay. Who else? Enter Sandman.
I think Jags should play more Limp Bizkit, man. I mean, they're from the Jacksonville, from Jacksonville.
They are. They get you fired up.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, especially Break Stuff. That's a good one.
Break Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I was never really all that into Limp Bizkit, although I mentioned yesterday I liked their cover of Behind Blue Eyes. It was pretty good.
Yeah. I liked their. They were good. They had a cool sound to them.
I take it you weren't that much of a fan of that particular tune.
Not really.
All My Rowdy Friends for the Monday night theme from Hank Williams.
Oh, yeah, that was
Williams.
A good one.
That was
a good one.
Really good. And,
yeah,
then they
Hank
brought him
good.
Back.
Yeah.
Isn't it back now, All My Rowdy Friends?
Oh.
I know they brought it back. He had a long hiatus. And then I.
Did they bring him back?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they brought
for
him
like
back.
For like a year.
Maybe.
Short.
What? So you think it's already come and gone?
I think so.
The return to Monday night.
I think so.
I guess I
but
don't
But I don't know.
I can't remember what happened.
All My Rowdy
week.
Friends are here on Monday night. That's a good one.
It is pretty good.
That was a good one.
Right. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We'll take a look at your submissions for first-time Jaguar Pro Bowlers, and we'll pick Tom's brain and see who he thinks are the candidates, at,
yeah,
least, to make a Pro Bowl for the first time for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That requires you to know who has already been to the Pro Bowl. So we'll discuss that coming up on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Tom McManus, E.T. Will hopefully regale us with some of that district championship shuffle. I'm just waiting to post that thing on social media. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, he has found his district championship shuffle. He's posted it to Facebook.
There you go.
I'm tagged in there, so I will get that up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page before the end of the day. By the way, brother, I thought my phone had some cracks in it.
My phone has seen better days.
How long have you had that phone? Like, what kind of phone do you have right now?
iPhone 8 Plus.
iPhone 8. All right,
oh,
that seems,
yeah,
like
new.
It's fairly,
yeah,
new, right? I've got
a
Droid, a Samsung, I don't know what it's like, Generation 7 or something. I think,
okay,
they're up to 10.
Okay.
But I got it like last year. It just flies by. I don't know. But I've got a few that if I didn't have the little sticky cover on there, I think the cracks would not allow this to hold.
You know,
together.
That whole technology stuff, it's awesome, but you know, they're sneaky too, because you almost
make
have
it fragile.
You have to get a new phone. You're gonna eventually have to get a phone. You have to, because everything it gets outdated, right? The technology gets outdated. Even if you don't do your freaking update, it shuts down the battery a lot quicker. Have you noticed that? It's kind of stuff. I don't, you know, it's a little sneaky for me.
Yeah, it's a little sneaky, like but it is pretty amazing what you carry around in your pocket. You got everything
you need
at your fingertips, man.
Oh, no doubt.
I don't freak out, but I went somewhere the other day and I didn't have my phone.
Everyone's like, oh my God, where's your phone?
Right,
where's
like you just reach for it. It's like an instinct.
Yeah, no
gotta
doubt.
Go for it. Yeah. All right, so let me see here. What do we have? All right, E's getting that posted.
Nice.
The line I was thinking about from Gary Fencik was talking about we're going to do the shuffle and ring your bell. That was what I was thinking of from
it was a great defense.
Super Bowl shuffle.
Great offensive line. The Black and Blues brothers, they were great. Bortz and Hilgenberg and Van Horn.
That was a great team, man.
They were
Miami
great.
Just cleaned their clock.
They
and
did
remember
that night.
We were talking about that on the break that Monday night. They had several members, as I recall, of the 72 Dolphins on hand for that game.
Yep.
That is one of the things that just drives me crazy, that whole – you know, champagne celebration, because
right.
they really do it. You know, they don't all necessarily all get together.
Right.
Some of them do if they can, but they all kind of acknowledge that they all crack open a bottle of bubbly as they remain the last team and the only team.
Hey, man, that's, you know,
I know.
Pretty
hard.
It rubs you the wrong way.
I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, growing up a Jets fan, I just hate the Dolphins with a passion. So
right.
That's probably
that's
where
fair.
It comes in more.
I think the Jets are going to be interesting this year. I like what they've done, you know. I do. I mean, obviously, Bell, you got to see what he does. But on defense, they've upgraded, I think. You know,
I think
they did a good job.
I mean, look.
I like Darnold
fans,
a lot.
They're
I
right.
Like
that's
Darnold
the thing
lot.
That they have. They have hope that they have their best quarterback since Joe Namath.
No doubt. I think he's a player, man, big time.
Yeah. If you look at his last five or six games, he was one of the more highly rated quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, we can all look at sample sizes.
No
like
doubt.
That, right? Blake had a stretch.
That's
late
right.
in 2017, where he played like arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League.
You know, look, it doesn't matter what position. Once they get you on film, they can game plan against your weakness, and then you got to break through the game plan. If you can't, you're pretty much toast.
Tom, which Jaguar do you think is most likely to earn his first trip to the Pro Bowl in the upcoming season? The choices we gave folks were Leonard Fournette, Miles Jack, Dede Westbrook, or you can go off the board, go someone else. Linder would be a guy. Linder's never made one. I'd have a tough time picking Brandon Linder, not that I don't think he's capable of playing that well.
He's hurt a lot.
Can he, can he stay on the field? You can make the same argument with Leonard Fournette. I just think it's easier for a skill position guy to break through in his first one if he puts up the numbers, right? If Leonard Fournette were to play 15 out of 16 games,
right,
and he did average 4.3 yards a carry, the volume of work he's going to get, and he's already shown he's got a nose for the end zone. He can be a double-digit touchdown guy. You know, there's some pretty good running backs in the AFC. There's no question about it.
Sure.
But I just think that catches voters' attention a little bit more than an interior lineman.
Well, I think, too, and you've seen it firsthand. I've only seen it, you know, in the reports that it looks like they're getting him involved in the passing game a ton, which could obviously increase
his
value.
He's not Le'Veon Bell. He's not going to run routes from the slot. But he's got fine hands.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
He can catch the football.
Hey, those DBs don't want to hit him in the open field. Trust me. They want to, like, you know, hopefully he runs out of bounds.
I would imagine not. So out of that trio, Fournette, Miles, Jack, Dede, Westbrook, who would get your vote out of that trio if you're just restricted to those?
I'm going to go Jack. I'm going to go Miles.
That's where 52% of the vote went.
I think he's got so much potential. He's just got to get the mic position down to really realize that full potential.
You know, it's funny because in the NFL.com article that made me think of this as a poll question, they did one for every AFC team, a guy who's most likely to become a first-time Pro Bowler, and they picked Miles Jack.
Okay.
And so one of the things they pointed out with Telvin Smith gone, his workload will remain high. Well, I mean, with Telvin Smith here, Miles Jack played literally 100% of the defensive snaps every down last year. So he's going to be out there.
Yep.
Can he make some splash plays? And I think a big part of it is, do the Jags return to have a winning record? Do they challenge for the playoffs? Because that puts you front of mind. I mean, the Jags are not a team that, unless you're watching Red Zone, you're not going to get them in every market around the country. And for the fan component vote of it, I think, you know, to break through for the first time, it's tough. That's why.
No doubt.
If you are a skill, if you're a D.D. Westbrook and you have a 1,300-yard season, well, a bunch of people owned you on their fantasy teams, right? Majority of people not going to play with defensive players.
You know, I'm sorry to cut you. And the Pro Bowl, I've never made one, so I, you know, really shouldn't speak on it. But my wife has, by the way. But as a cheerleader for the Jags.
I know she has.
Yeah, she's the only Pro Bowler in the house. Everyone loves to remind me of that, which is fine. It's okay. I'm good with it because she did a great job. But it's a popularity contest for a lot of times. You know?
No doubt.
I don't want to take anything away from the fans, but if it's going to be really a Pro Bowl, I don't think the fan vote should count. I think it should come down to the players who play against you and the coaches who coach against you.
But the players don't see everybody as well.
That's true.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're playing
against.
But you
see them on film a lot.
Okay.
You do. So I'll be you know, you might be watching your upcoming opponent, and then they're on the other team that's not your opponent that they're playing against on film. You're like, wow, that guy really makes a lot of
plays. Did you always watch Monday Night Football when you played?
I went out on Monday nights a lot.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
Lynch's at the beach was a big one because Tuesday was our day off.
They didn't have Thursday Night Football when you were playing, right?
No.
That would be, I guess they had Sunday night football.
Yep. Played a couple Sunday nights and played in a couple Monday nights.
Did you watch, like, if you weren't out? And I don't know how often that was.
No, I went out Sunday night, Monday night. I was not watching.
So
I wasn't sitting there watching a game. Now, it might have been on in the establishment we were at. Maybe check it out.
But you're not focused on what's happening.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But, look, I said it earlier. I think Ronnie Harrison's a star in the making. I really think that he could be a very, very big impact player. But what remains to be seen. Back to Miles Jack, though, real quick.
Yes.
His weakest link right now is stopping the run. If he gets that better, he can be that type of player. Now, look, if I'm the coordinators, I'm blitzing the heck out of him. His speed is ridiculous. I mean, he's got closing speed. He's got so much speed that you got to get him after the QB, in my opinion. You can delay a blitz. He doesn't have to show it right away because he's got that kind of, you know, that kind of speed and velocity. He can cover as well as any linebacker in the game. So to me, those two things would propel him to have a phenomenal year. He's just got to figure out that Mike position against the run.
The vote percentage, 52% for Miles, 23% for Leonard Fournette, 18% for D.D. Westbrook, 7% went off the board with someone else. Some of the ones they mentioned, by the way, Nick Foles has been to a Pro Bowl, so he doesn't count.
That's right.
Unique Ngakoue's been to a Pro Bowl. You know, you got to make sure you know who has and who hasn't. Josh Allen, somebody picked. We'll see. I think it'd have to be a particular set of circumstances for him to get enough run to actually make a Pro Bowl. Danny Boy said, I like Cole more than Didi. That may be the case. You may, but I just think right now Didi's position and in the pecking order is a lot more established with the coaching staff.
Listen, last year, who was your number one guy?
It was Didi.
Right,
and far. And there was a lot of talk in the offseason that they thought Cole would emerge to be that guy.
Right.
And then he didn't.
No, he didn't.
And that doesn't mean you can't rewrite your story.
That's right. Reset.
But he's got a hill to climb to get there.
Yep.
I would have selected Leonard because he's poised to have a big year. However, the running back position in the AFC is crazy loaded. Bell, Ingram, Connor, Henry, Gordon. Speaking of Henry, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Averaged 4.9 yards a carry. Now, helped out.
Most of it was against
helped
us.
Helped out significantly, by that. Game, but that's an example. I mean, here's a guy, big power back, in kind of like Leonard Fournette, but we know Derrick Henry's got good speed as well. We saw those breakaway runs at Alabama. You wouldn't necessarily look at him and say, that's a 4.9 yard a carry guy.
No, it
just goes to show you. 4.5 is not an unreasonable threshold for a feature back. It shouldn't be.
No.
Anyway.
I don't know if he's – look, I hope he's poised for a big year, Mike, but he's got a lot to prove, man, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely he does.
A lot to prove.
I do think so much of it is intertwined with the offensive line.
No doubt.
And if they're healthy. But if they give – if he has an average offensive – NFL average, and certainly you want better than that.
Right.
But last year was way below average because of all the injuries. So just give him – a fighting chance. If he stays healthy, I think he is capable of that 1,300-yard on the ground, another three or 400.
With a good O-line?
Catching
or, definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, he's got to do his part. Somebody said dark horse James O'Shaughnessy. That is a dark horse, my man. Yeah. That one is really coming up on the outside.
How much are they going to use him in the passing
game? Well, I mean, he'll get a few shots, but how much are they going to use any one tight end in the passing game, right? Between Oliver coming in, you got Swaim there as
I think those two are going to be the top targets.
I think so, too. And O'Shaughnessy is a relatively decent pass-catching option at the position, but if you know, to break through – and to be a Pro Bowl tight end coming off this team, you'd have to, I'd say, catch at least 60 to 70 balls.
Right.
And I don't think any one of them is going to approach that number, really.
Well, the good thing about Foles and the coordinators, they like using the tight
end.
They
also had Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, who were two pretty good tight ends to throw to.
Absolutely. They're very good. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Here's your man coming on board here in a second, Hacker.
Hacker!
Hacker's
the new dad, man.
He is. He had his first Father's Day this week. So let's check in with XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit Moe'sCateringFL.com.
The Nation of Hacker has arrived. Hello, Hack.
Mike, what's going on, man?
You tell us. He's got it up on Twitter now, too. Nice job, E. Did you realize that Emmanuel participated once in a video for the district champ shuffle at Clay High School, which was a takeoff on the Super Bowl shuffle right there? Video is out on Twitter. I will retweet that right now.
I just that's just my verse, and I'll figure out how to get the full thing for those.
Well, your verse is really all anybody wants to
Grammy,
see anyway.
Grammy Award.
Hacker, when you donned the pads at the Wolf Den,
did
you guys put together any kind of video display to show off your prowess?
No, we did not. I think there actually is video of me pushing Siatric Faison out of bounds.
I knew that would be the highlight.
Really? Oh,
I knew that would be the highlight.
Were you on the sideline or on the field?
No. See, Tommy, we were down like 60 to nothing. And Siatric already had like 300 yards rushing. So at that point, Wolfson coach has just said, anybody wants to play, go on in there.
Did you get credit for the tackle? That's
I'm
all
sure
that matters.
I did.
If you did, man, you need to sell that story better.
Bottom line is Siatric Faison felt my wrath.
You know what? Siatric is a pretty good player, but I brought him down, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
What about the kid you? What about
out of bounds?
What about the kid you speared with the helmet?
Oh, the Lee Generals defensive end beat me for a sack in JV football. Tommy.
Oh, and then what'd you do?
He was talking to me about it afterwards.
Yep.
And then we ran the ball on a draw play the next time. I saw him standing around the pile. And
nice.
I didn't hear the whistle and
you speared
he
him.
Cleaned
pretty
it
much.
Up.
Wearing a side.
Yeah.
Good
I got
for
a personal,
you.
Only personal foul I ever got in my life.
Was it a Was it a Goldberg spear? Like Bill Goldberg spear?
No, because I got him from the back. It was a total cheap shot. Bill Goldberg at least had people looking at him when he speared them. This was from the backside.
You'll live to fight another day.
Cheever used to play against Goldberg in college.
Did he?
Yeah, he said he wasn't that good of a football player.
Really?
Yeah, great wrestler, obviously.
Yeah,
he was a great wrestler. But.
Hack, I don't know if off the top of your head, if you can come up with one. I'm sure you probably can. We asked, among other things today, what is your favorite sports-related or sports-themed song? Could be like a song they play in the stadium, or it could be lyrics about a sport or whatever. Anything
you can't say New Kids on the Block. They don't count.
Not going to say New Kids on the Block. Although, my wife got me into that Wahlburgers show.
Oh, yeah,
with Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah,
and now it's all about New Kids on
really?
The Block.
Yeah.
It is a good show.
It's about a hamburger joint.
It's about the hamburger joint, but it's Donnie and Mark and their brothers and whatnot.
Right.
No, I would say my favorite song, what really got my juices flowing, Tommy, when I was in section 432 there at the stadium getting ready for you guys to take the field, is Phil Collins.
Oh.
In the Air Tonight.
Wow.
One of the great American rock songs of all time.
What if it was a day game? Did it still get you excited?
It still got me excited.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, yeah. Hacker is into that one. Who is? You got to love the little drum riff. Even Mike Tyson was into it.
Well,
yes, he was. In
Hangover,
Hangover,
and by the way, Risky Business with Tom Cruise
and
Rebecca De Mornay.
Oh, yeah.
Phil
on the
Collins
train.
In the Air Tonight.
Oh,
the train
that
scene. Absolutely fantastic.
Rebecca De Mornay is a very underrated
sex symbol.
Attractive
back
actress.
In the day.
Yes.
Back in the day, she was phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
That's a great story. Line. You know, parents go away, kids throw a big party on
the
hook, show up.
I'm like, was there a true story? I missed out on
it. He was a member of Future Enterprises.
Yeah, Free Enterprise.
$8,000 in one night.
That's right.
You
sometimes
go.
You got to say,
that
you know, what
like
the,
chump
you know
change,
what?
Right?
Yeah, it does.
Hacker, have a good
show
today,
buddy. Thanks, guys.
All right,
later,
along
Hack.
With Matt Hayes and Big Leon Searcy, Joe C.
Cheers.
Out this week. We got Hacker Nation with XL Primetime. All right, Tommy, what do you have cooking for the next couple weeks?
Oh, next couple weeks. We're heading to Mobile Bay, Daphne, tomorrow for the a nice four-day little jaunt.
Nice.
My girls, we just got done with dance recitals. We just got done with camp. So from here on out, it's well, Daddy will be working and Mom will too with her business, but we'll be doing some playtime. We'll take a
summer
trip.
Downtime. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Very I'm nice, not a man. Big planner. I'm more like, hey, let's go. You know, you want to go somewhere? Let's go. And then we go a week later or 2 weeks later or whatever. I'm not a huge planner.
Absolutely.
When it comes to that. But, yeah, we'll have some fun. But work, I mean, we live in paradise. I live in a vacation spot. You know what I mean? So, but we will take a little trip here and there and have some fun along the way, brother.
Well, have a good
It'll
time.
Good.
Good seeing you once again.
Likewise.
And enjoyed the program. Back again tomorrow, me and E.T.
Yes, sir.
Doing the double dip. Tomorrow we'll be singing the District Champ Shuffle.
I still remember my verse.
In all its glory.
I still beautiful. Know my verse. I might give it to him tomorrow. School.
You might. You know what?
It's Friday.
He doesn't care. He is less encumbered by singing on the air than I am, and I sing all the time on the air. I'm not going to sing Curtis Blow on the spot. It's not going to happen. All right, E. I'll see you tomorrow. Tommy Mack, have a good couple weeks.
Yep.
That'll do it for us today. For Fat Tony, he'll be back with me next week. He'll be filling in on the Franchi Show once again today. I'm Mike Dempsey, Jaguars Today, 10 to noon, once again tomorrow on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.